The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop today. BillCurryFord.com. And Florida's Elite Restoration, they are your first phone call anytime you have a disaster at your property: fire, mold, flood, storm damage. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get there today so you're prepared for tomorrow. All right, Bucks fans, the Sage is back. June is here. Ira's bouncing around. Sage, we're live. We're in the flesh with each other. How about that, Ira?
I love it.
Bill Curry Ford, of course, presents this podcast that carries your name, the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And we'll talk a little bit about Bill Curry Ford. But Ira, we're a couple of months from preseason games. It's almost here in many ways. I know it's hurricane season and people are getting ready and they're checking out Florida's Elite Restoration in the process to have it part of their plan. Is time flying for you, Ira?
It is, Lee. I've noticed it. The days are going by really quickly. Now we're in June, a couple of months away from exhibition football, or as you like to say, forget about it football, and you're not wrong. It's down to three exhibition games. It's going to be two pretty soon. Don't hold your breath because it's going to happen sooner rather than later. I don't know. I'm pretty pumped about this team. I still think they're the best team in this division. Say what you want about the NFC South. Kirk Cousins, as you've mentioned many times, I put an asterisk next to his name. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get the Kirk Cousins that we're used to. I think he's the only reason people are jumping on the Falcons. The improvement, they think it's going to be under center.
You're absolutely right, and I find it just ironic as hell that the same people who always used to make fun of Kirk Cousins, mock him, you name it, all of a sudden the Falcons grab him, and it's like they got John Elway or something. It's like, calm down, people. Here's one for you, Ira. CBS Sports had an article Sunday morning. They referred to the Bucs as being in quarterback purgatory.
Currently?
Yes. They are no fans of Baker Mayfield. They think Mayfield maxed out this past season. They say he's an up-and-down guy. They think he's going to have a horrible year. And the only way the Bucs are going to get out of purgatory, quarterback purgatory, in their eyes, they got to draft Quinn Ewers next spring.
Well, wait a minute. Quinn Ewers is not exactly Caleb Williams.
Nope.
Not at this point.
Nope.
Not even close. Purgatory is way too strong, Lee.
I know.
I'll tell you why. Mayfield's not old, a la Cousins. He's not.
Hey, Ira, are you really going to give this more than 5 seconds? It's stupid. They're not a quarterback. Come on. Don't disgrace yourself for stoop to that level.
Now, if the Bucks would have went, 7-10 or 8-9, and Mayfield had a bad year, then they're in quarterback purgatory, because then you probably can't draft one of these top guys, and you're stuck with J.J. McCarthy or something. And then you're in trouble. But based on what I saw last year, Lee, from number six, they're not in purgatory. They're in pretty darn good shape.
You know, everybody's like anointing Kirk Cousins as the savior in Atlanta, because Mr. Quarterback Purgatory has twice as many playoff wins, as just as many division titles. You know, people rolling over for Kirk Cousins when 4 or 5 months ago, everybody thought he was a joke. All of a sudden, he goes to Atlanta and is like, you know, give him the division title, look out, Super Bowl, here we come. Calm down.
One thing that gives me a little bit of confidence about Mayfield, Steve, is the way he finished. He finished strong. He played very well against Philly, and he played well against the Lions on the road against a really good team and kept the Bucks in the game. And I'm not going to go crying into the streets over an interception in the fourth quarter when he was trying to rally the team from behind. I'm not.
Ira, what would get you crying in the streets?
Another hip operation on my right side.
All right.
Then I'm in trouble.
I completely forgot about your operation.
And then you saw me walk in here.
No, until you mentioned it. And I'm like, well, that's right. He had hip replacements. You look great, man.
Should I drop my drawers and show everybody my sutures?
Let's not get carried away.
There's people trying to eat over here.
Ira, what is this obsession you have with Kalijah Kansi? Why? I saw this column you wrote. You think he's the face of the defense. Well, what is
going
on?
I think he could be. That's what I said. I think he could be. My point is, David will not be here more than a couple of years. You wouldn't think. A couple of years. I'm not looking at Logan Hall. Will Golston's a non-factor. Vita Vea is 29. He'll be 31 at that point, 32. Who knows about his contract status at that point? KJ Britt's not going to be the face. And then you got the secondary. Of course, Winfield's coming off a brilliant season. But one of my points, Lee, you may not agree, I think it's hard for a guy in the secondary to be the face of the defense. I think it's hard. I think it's almost always a front seven guy. And
I agree.
And, Lee, I'm just going to say this. Cansey was troubled by the calf injury. He got himself right. And even though his numbers weren't overwhelming, four sacks, Lee, he led the team in quarterback hits. That's a fact. And he showed me enough, just speaking for myself, I think the guy's got a very bright future.
I want to say it's a tackles for loss stat.
He had 10 of those. I think that's going to be his forte.
Well, I haven't written this up yet. I took the notes. I saved it. But when it comes to I want to say it's tackles for loss. He was like top five in the NFL, defensive lineman.
Maybe number one among rookies, right? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. He was number one among rookies. But his numbers were up there. T.J. Watt, Calais Campbell.
Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa.
I can't remember. There was another guy, but I mentioned here. He was up there with stars, and he was a rookie. And like, holy smokes, if he's doing that, number one is a rookie. Number two is a guy who basically he missed a month to start the season because he was hurt. If this guy's healthy and plays the full year, holy cow.
I'm bullish on him, Steve.
I'm way bullish.
You're not concerned, Ira, that the league gets a little film on him now? Better look at him, you know, attacks him a different way, treats him more as somebody to watch out for? How do you think he responds to that?
Well, that's always one way you could look at it. The other way you can look at it is his experience is going to help him going forward. They're going to work him hard during training camp. Playing next to Vita Vea, I think, helps him right now. Vea gets the attention. He does. I don't think it's going to be long before Cansey gets his share of attention, Lee. I like the burst off the ball. Now, don't drop your microphone, Lee. He might be a better Gerald McCoy. How do you like that? He might be a better Gerald McCoy.
I was never anti-McCoy.
High bar, Ira.
That's a high bar. It's a high bar. I've been saying McCoy is a legitimate candidate for the Ring of Honor the road. I think he is.
The people that freak out when you say that apparently have a blind spot for all the Pro Bowls he made.
I don't blame him for the bad years of the Bucks. It's not his fault.
So a guy who doesn't show anything in the postseason, not his fault, but doesn't show anything in the postseason, who makes six Pro Bowls automatically is in the Ring of Honor? Is that what you're saying?
Well, what chances did he have in the postseason? What opportunities?
I didn't say he did. I'm just saying, is that your bar? Six Pro Bowls?
How many Bucks have made six Pro Bowls that aren't in the Ring of Honor?
That's number one. Number two, you make the sick argument about Paul Gruber. What did he do in the postseason? He was never in the postseason, I remember, right?
He was in the postseason, yeah.
But broke his leg in the first game?
Steve, I'm not saying he's the next guy to go in. I'm just saying in the next 10 years, if they put a guy in every year, and who knows what they're doing this year, Lee, they're not making any announcements.
You know, you're right. I was thinking his only pro postseason was 1999. He played before that.
Yeah. He never made an all-pro team, McCoy? Second team, McCoy?
First team. Sage, okay. First team all-pro. That's Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. GM Sean Sullivan, he's fired up, helping Bucks fans 24-7. I say that because, you know what, if you email Sean or if you want to talk Bucks with him, or you want to ask him some questions, he's going to get back to you as soon as possible. And BillCurryFord.com, you can shop there immediately, Sage. See all the new offers that are going to be rolling in for June. We don't know what they are yet, but we're on pins and needles. They're always great. And Bill Curry Ford still has the nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, and they've got completely remodeled, refurbished, reimagined dealership, biggest service department in the country. Sean loves to talk about that. And, of course, body work. I actually need a little body work, Sage.
I'm looking at you, and I second that motion.
BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. Reach out to Sean. You can find him on the website, and he'll help you. It's just that simple.
Hold on, Steve. Speaking of Sean, Lee, is he still pissed off that the Bucks didn't draft that running back out of Kentucky? That Liam Cohn coached instead of Bucky Irving?
Yeah, I tried to calm him down about that. I was like, Sean, there's got to be something that spooked Liam Cohn. No one knew him like Liam Cohn. And Liam Cohn saw him every day, you know, for a year. There's something
you're
about
right,
him.
You're
yeah,
right.
But we have no idea if Liam Cohn said, you guys are nuts if you don't draft him, and that's what I think. We don't know if Liam Cohn went up to Light and his people and said, look, you're nuts if you don't draft my guy from Kentucky.
Well, I remember I was one asked Spytech, we did a research on him. We're happy with him. And he basically shut me
down.
Steve,
I have to think. If Liam Cohn came out strong as an advocate for this kid, I don't think they would have drafted Bucky Irving over him.
Well, what it boils down to is
he probably stayed out of it, or he said, I like Irving better than
basically
this guy.
What it boils down to.
We're talking about Ray Davis out of Kentucky.
Ray Davis.
I tried to tell Sean, like, perhaps the Bucks want to do something at running back that maybe this guy's not good at or doesn't excel at, that maybe Bucky Irving does. And, well, Sean's upset about it. Let's put that.
I don't know, Ira. I don't know how much who's got power, who's got the ego in charge, who Todd Bowles liked, who Jason's light staff wasn't about to cater to Liam Cohen, I don't think. It's a truth, one of those truths that we'll never find out for sure.
Steve.
And that we can't believe, even if they tell us.
Steve, early June, who do you guys think has a leg up on the left guard job? You think it's Breederson, or you think it's Opita, or could it be Hainsey bounced from the center spot?
I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to what they're doing in underwear football because I put virtually zero stock in it. I know a lot of fans are into it, and I take really good notes as far as what's going on the practice field because people like to read that. When they put the pads on, that's when I'll start paying attention, who's lined up where. I don't even think Bowles knows right now.
You think, Steve, the fact Breederson's making more money than Opita would be a factor?
It could be. It's not enough money to be a big deal, but like Lee said, I mean, it's a joke at this point.
I mean, guys aren't allowed to hit. Like, now the Bleacher Report crowd, like, oh, who's looking like a steal in OTAs? And they got linemen in there. Linemen can't freaking hit. That's irresponsible.
Look, Bowles has said a couple of times, Opita and his speed is flashing. You know, what does that really mean? Nobody really knows.
They can't touch each
other. Hainsey, I don't know if they would. I think they'd prefer to have a true backup center. And they may like Hainsey. Just, he's the backup center. We can trust him. We like him. He's smart. He can swing as a backup, you know, swing guy. And I don't know.
You think Light's got a soft spot for Hainsey and would like to see him in the mix if he loses out in the center?
I think Light has a soft spot in his heart for any offensive lineman that he drafted.
Sage, soft spot. He went out and signed two free agent interior linemen.
Well, he didn't know he had Barton at that point. He didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
But where's the soft spot? He signed two guys and he drafted two interior linemen. He got four new guys to play Hainsey's position.
Well, that's basically. Because Bowles basically has admitted that halfway through last season he started pestering Light. We got to bulk up.
Lee's right. Bowles was a big fact in drafting a center.
I don't think they have anything against Hainsey, and they would trust him if they have to use him. We would start hearing about how great he is, and you know how that goes. When you talk about this running game that we've talked about many times, the question that we'll keep coming back to as the season goes on is, will Todd Bowles again, and did he do it last year? We don't know, but will he sort of let Liam Cohen do his thing? Stay hands off and run the kind of offense he wants to run. Do you think he'll be more apt to do that with Cohen than he was with Canales? Or maybe he gave Canales a loose leash, and then he's kind of switching up and saying, you know what, I like Canales, but I wish I held a tighter little reins on him. How do you think it'll play out?
I don't see it that way, Steve. I see it the opposite, Lee. I think he was more involved with Canales behind closed doors than he will be with Cohen.
Because of experience?
Now, he picked both of them, so that's not a difference there. But Cone's got some experience that Canales didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
He knew a lot about Cone before he brought him aboard. I don't think Bowles is a micromanager on the other side of the ball, Lee. We complained about it when he had Leftwich and thought he should get more involved, especially once Arians started to withdraw from the day-to-day football operations. Somebody had to talk to Leftwich, and I don't think Bowles did enough in that regard. But when it comes to Cone, Lee, I don't think he's going to be hands-on. He's got enough work with that defense, to get that defense back up to Buck standards. And as Steve pointed out in our last podcast, Lee, should not go unnoticed. For much of last season, like two-thirds of last season, they technically had the worst pass defense in football. Let's not forget that.
Not great, yeah.
And now Carlton Davis isn't around. And say what you want about Davis, but he wasn't a bad player.
I'm still not warmed to that move.
Did somebody just rank their cornerbacks, Lee? Not PFF, is it?
Well, we're in the middle of list season.
Everybody's got a list, Steve.
Pat Kerwin, I put stock.
Oh, yeah, Kerwin.
I put stock in his. Right. But, it's list season. Everybody's got lists. This will be list season until the training camp's open. But Will Goldstein recently was on a podcast. And forgive me, I can't remember the name of the podcast. If the guys involved in it are listening, I apologize. But I did link to you on Joe Buck's fan. It was a hell of a job you did with Will Goldstein. And Will Goldstein, they were asking about Bowles. And Will Goldstein said, Bowles does not call the defense on game days. That's either Casey Rogers or it's...
Foote?
Yeah, Larry Foote. Goldstein said, I can only talk about defense because I'm not in the offensive huddle. He said Bowles absolutely has 100% trust and faith in his assistants.
That really surprised me because that's not what I've seen watching the games. Right? You
that,
see,
that's what I thought as well. So
I don't know if I buy it. Maybe he said it wrong or something. It's like, because you see Bowles with the play sheet, and we've got a million pictures from our photographer with the play sheet, and he's talking to somebody. Now, I don't know.
Bowles usually gets the credit as the brilliant disguiser of the schemes and who's going to blitz, and you're confusing people.
Well, Golson did say Bowles is, you know, very, very hands-on during practices. But game day, he claims it's all Rodgers and Foote. Okay. Again, I don't know how accurate it is.
It could be some sort of blend. You know, he may give them full say in the substitutions, you know, with the packages, who they want to play. I've heard that before in a couple of times, but, you know, like, you know, all right, Bowles is calling the defense, but which linemen are in there is up to those guys. I don't know.
No, I'm not saying Golson's conning anybody. No, but if you take him at his word.
It could be part of the time, too. I don't know.
Yeah. If you take him at face value, well, that suggests that Cohen will have free reign.
I think Bowles is going to be primarily hands-off in terms of the offensive coordinator.
Lee, you think he'll be hands-on or more hands-on, less hands-on than with Canales?
I think Cohen had more than one option. And I'm sure he asked in the interview, what are you going to do, Todd?
How much autonomy am I going to have?
Exactly. Yeah. And if, you know, Bowles said, well, I like this, that, the other thing, that might have spooked away Cohen. So I think you're right, Steve and Ira, that Cohen probably asked, you know, autonomy. How much autonomy do I have? And whatever Bowles said or whatever they negotiated, it was cool with Cohen.
You know, Steve, I want to say this right now at this juncture, Lee, I don't care what you do, Cohen, but if you're listening to this podcast, which I think you will this week, listen to me and listen good. Whatever you got to do, this offense is in a 2-year deep freeze, Lee. It's lousy.
Mm-hmm.
2 years. You can ascribe it to whatever you want, the old line, the crappy running game. The terrible schematics on the running game or whatever, they got to get out of this funk if they really want to go places.
They do, and it's just kind of funny to me. I look at Cohen, you know, interviewing with Bowles, and maybe that question comes up about who's in charge, and Bowles says something like, well, Liam, I'm the head coach, and but you'll have your freedom. I respect you, but I'm the head coach. And Cohen says, where do I sign? Give me the millions. You know?
Yeah, I mean, things aren't going well, then,
but
you
I got to think, I don't know. We know week two they play in Detroit.
Yes.
And, you know, we hate to say it, but, you know, there's a good chance that that's a loss.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to win week one. It's as must win as it gets.
You love dissecting that schedule,
well, it's
Steve.
But in week one is that you're at home against a bad team with a rookie quarterback. You have to win. So you know that Bowles, you know, how many years has he been coaching this defense, right? So I think that how's he going to stop himself from going into those offensive meetings when he knows what he's doing on defense? He's got all his players and sort of micromanaging that at least a little bit on for opening day. You know?
I think you're right.
I don't know.
Lee, the only thing that scares me a little bit about that opener, it's September 8th, it's 425. I don't care that it's 425. It's still going to be 93. You know that. and muggy. So to feel like it'll be 102.
Please don't say that Washington won't be used to the heat.
I'm worried about this defense chasing Daniels all over the field. Fatigue could be a factor.
Why? So, that's assuming the Bucs have a pass rush.
Now it could be a factor for Daniels, too. He could be dog tired. But guys like Cansey, Vea, Tryon, if you want to throw him out there, Diaby. Steve, you see that as a danger, or you better start rotating?
Well, if you're tired in week one, I mean,
he's a hell of a runner.
There's a problem.
He's a hell of a runner.
Well, if a quarterback runs that much, I like that because he's going to get drilled.
But they don't have a Derek Brooks to go zero in on Michael Vick like
Levante?
They used to. Maybe Levante. Maybe Levante.
Well, a positive about that game. As of early evening, June 2nd, they're looking for a kicker.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, you know, the ex-Jags kicker that the
McManus, that guy?
Yeah. Evidently, that cost him his job.
Steve, I'm more worried about Daniels with his legs than my arm in the opener, I think.
Well, yeah, you would think so, but I don't know. I mean,
everybody has flashbacks
rookie,
to Tennessee.
I think Lee wrote this up a while ago. I think rookie quarterbacks, was it 0-9?
I wrote that.
0-9 starting against Bowles?
The last nine that started during their rookie season, first round
against
picks.
Against the Bucs.
No, in general.
In general,
it was 0-9. They were 0-9.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Daniel Jones beat Bowles.
Was he a rookie?
Yeah.
All right, Sage. So, look, Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
And C.J. Stroud beat him.
It is hurricane season, Sage, so we pay extra attention to our homes, right? Do you do anything, Ira? You, you know, throw
Yeah, I knocked down a wasp nest today, Steve.
That's protection.
I sprayed him with that Raid, and then I ran inside the door like a little baby.
Are you,
I don't blame you.
Are you a sandbags guy?
I came back out, Lee, 10 minutes later, after it's all misty and everything. Then I took a broom and I knocked down that damn thing. One of them came right at me. I ran like hell.
Did you stomp on it?
Yeah, I stomped pretty good on it.
Sage, 25-plus years of experience at Florida's Elite Restoration on the insurance side of the business. So when you have a disaster in your home, whether it's wasps, storm damage, flood, mold, fire, whatever it is, you call them 24-7. Josh Martin and his team, they're there 24-7 to come out and give you that free evaluation with all their technology and all the stuff they come out with to see what's going on and how to fix it. And they're going to attack this thing with you, with your insurance company, so you get all the money that you're and all the coverage that you're paying for, protecting your contents and whatever it is.
Especially, Steve, if you're in a flood-prone area, I don't like these predictions. Not that I put that much stock in them in early June.
Kind of like Peter King.
Lee, they're saying, you know, these named hurricanes.
So who's the Connor Orr of local meteorologists? Paul Delgado knows what he's talking about. So.
Well, I like the guy with the suspenders, too.
Dennis Phillips. That's
Dennis
right.
He's
Todd Wright's fantasy football.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, Dennis.
So, Sage, anyway, you call Florida's Elite Restoration anytime, and they're going to help you out. Mention Ira or Joe Bucksman when you first call, and then if you need their services, they'll give you $500 back when you move forward, and that's money for your deductible, and or it's just cash back if they're restoring a flooded-out room and getting those dryers in there and all the stuff that they do to make sure your home is taken care of. Florida's Elite Restoration. .com. All right, I got to ask you this because it really stood out to me, and I figured, you know what, the Sage will have an answer. So I see Jeff Darlington on NFL Live on ESPN.
He was a star during the golf tournament because he witnessed the Scheffler arrest. I guess he was coming in.
Adam Schefter got arrested?
No, Darlington. Darlington witnessed.
No, you said Adam Schefter.
Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, I thought you said Adam Schefter.
No, Scotty Scheffler.
Who's this
guy
again?
I guess Darlington was coming in the gate the same time as Scheffler was that morning. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Who the hell's this Scheffler? I don't know.
He's the number one player in the world.
I don't do golf.
Well, he's the guy that got arrested. You know he got arrested. He's the guy that got arrested when the cop was sprawled on his car. Well, you heard about it.
So Darlington's on NFL Live, and he's talking about the Bucks, and he's like, you know, hey, expectations are high. Talked about Light's draft haul, and he says, quote, Jason Light is once again proving why he's one of the more underrated executives in the league. And I hear that. I'm like, well, who, Mr. Darlington, is underrating Jason Light? Where is Jeff Darlington getting this from? There's only like 6 or 7 GMs, if you include Jerry Jones, who have won a Super Bowl that are still in the league, Ira. So there's only 6 or 7 Super Bowl GMs. Like, where is this coming from?
Well, maybe he's referring to Light himself with the underappreciated and the witness protection program. Maybe he's taking it what Light said about the organization, and he's zeroing in on Light himself. Light's done a nice job.
Well,
But wait, is Darlington, you know, walking around all these NFL events that we go to hearing that Jason Light isn't so great?
Is that from the Scheffler character?
You're going to go to sleep thinking about that thing. you know, he hears about Les Snead. He hears about other guys getting all kinds of kudos for their draft picks. And I guess he never hears it about Jason Light. Now, having said that, guys, Light struggled a bit with his first picks. Now, we'll see about Kancey. And we'll see about, Barton. But Logan Hall.
Yeah, bad.
Tryon, who, Logan Hall wasn't a first pick, but he was the Bucks' first pick.
Yeah, 33.
First pick in the second round. They traded back to him.
And, Vita Vea was a good one. But, there's, you got O.J. Howard. He struggled a bit in that regard. I'd like to think that he hit a home run with Barton.
I got someone at One Buck. I got them ticked off, and I didn't mean to. Someone texted me from One Buck and had a list. I can't remember who did it. But, again, we're in list season.
Is this current?
Right. Maybe the last week.
Doesn't take much for you to piss off the people at
home. Oh, no, I regularly. Well, this individual sent me a link to a list of the ranked general managers.
Who did the ranking?
I can't remember, but, I'm thinking, people rank freaking Baker Mayfield number 23.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, they got Light in 20s. And I'm reading, and they had him ranked, I think, 12th. I said, well, that's fair. And I said it because I was expecting him in the 20s. Really, he should be top 7, top 5.
You talking about Light?
Yeah, again, my expectations with most of these people outside the Tampa Bay area, when they rank anything with the Bucks, I expect it to be way down because they just don't know any better. Like I said, Baker Mayfield, 23, give me a break. And so I was expecting Light to be like 25 or something, and it was 12th. And I replied, oh, that's fair, but I didn't expand upon that. I haven't heard from that person since.
Oh, boy.
So I think I got him mad. I didn't try to.
What do you think's a fair ranking for Mayfield, Steve, at this point?
Oh, Chris Sims ranked him 15th. Anything in that ballpark is fair.
I would say 12 to 15, Lee, something like that.
Yeah, he won a playoff game. What the hell?
It's about right now and what the guy can do. And no matter how you slice it, he's had three good years and three off years. And those 3 years, statistically, they are almost identical. In his rookie year, his touchdown ratio.
Oh, so you're counting his rookie year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you look at his touchdown ratio his rookie year because he didn't start the first few games. It was better than it was ever.
The team wasn't any good, right, as a rookie?
No, yeah. No.
Steve, well,
they were. Well, it depends how you look at it because they were 7-9 coming off, I believe, zero wins. So, I mean, that was a huge jump up. Go ahead, Lee.
He gets mad at me whenever I say Baker Mayfield had a career year this year. He did. But the thing is, he doesn't have the Roger Maris asterisk. The NFL doesn't have Roger Maris asterisk. By average, he had a better year with his last year with the Browns. Career year, he had. This was a career year.
Well, people in Cleveland would actually say he was better his rookie year, some of them, you know, just on what he did on the field. But
well, we know what Tony Grossi says about the year that the Browns made the playoffs, that he was a passenger on the train for most of it, and I don't think that's fair.
But Sage, ultimately, answer your question. It's those lists should be about right now, and right now I think he's top 12. I really do. So that's where I would put him. But Jason Light, who plucks a quarterback off the street to make the Pro Bowl? How often does that happen? So, I mean, you know, that's a huge star. Nobody wants to give him that star, but that's what's going on right now.
He took every snap, and they won 10 games, including the playoff game. I got no problem with
that. Ira, how's the cherry red Ford Escape treating you?
It's outstanding. I use it all the time. It's my wife's car, but I use it all the time.
Cosmo
she
go in there?
She gets mad at me.
Cosmo jump in there, or he needs a hand?
No, we don't let Cosmo in there. Cosmo goes in my beat-up car. I can't have him taking a whiz in my cherry red Escape.
Do you let him hang his head out the window?
I do that. I hang my head out the window.
Sage, we didn't talk about it. This happened right after we recorded last time. We didn't talk about it. Devin Tompkins was cut.
Yeah.
So happens all the time. Bucks have a returner, and he's okay, at least. You know, not great, not terrible. And he gets cut. Eric Page years ago, if you remember that name, had a pretty good season. The guy's
Alan Page, I remember.
Disappeared out of the league after with the Bucks like 10 years ago and stuff. So Devin Tompkins, we talked about it at the Combine. He was the one guy, every time they asked questions about returner, and I asked one of them, or receiver, the word Tompkins never came out of Light's mouth or Bowles' mouth at these off-season events, which to me was the clue that they don't care about him, and here he goes.
Steve got it right. He predicted Tompkins wasn't going to make it to the training camp. He was right. I was surprised. I figured he'd make it to the training camp.
Well, Steve's also right when he said he's okay. That's all he is, Lee. He's okay.
He's meh.
Some people thought this was a shocker, a surprise.
The timing was a shocker.
I don't know why, yeah.
Lee, you got to reach a certain stature for it to be a surprise.
Right.
He's not at that stature.
Not yet. Well, it was a surprise as a receiver.
I'm glad they're moving on to a different returner. and returning is going to be more important this year.
I would hope so.
How do you think that plays out, Ira? Do you have any prediction or you don't know? I mean, we've seen the video online of what the new kickoff's going to look like and how you sort of need two returners. Will the Bucks be on the cutting edge here? Will they be catching up? do you think there's something going on behind the scenes to figure this out?
I think it's going to take about a month for teams to figure this out.
But are the Bucks going to be good at it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Lee, what do you think?
No.
The history suggests they're still going to suck.
History says
who's going to be good at it? Who's going to figure it out? Sean Payton?
He's not high. He's not working.
Sean Payton?
Who's going to figure it out? Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Harbaugh?
Which Harbaugh? Both?
Maybe both. Maybe both.
Now, John was the special teams coach.
Sean Payton's going to be good at it because he's good at a lot of things. The Bucks will not be cutting edge. I hope I'm wrong, Steve.
So here's a question for you, Ira. So now that there's more opportunity on these kickoffs, do you think teams will put better players there? Like before, you would never put a starting running back or a top player as your returner. But if there's more value in the play, does that change things?
Well, am I going to see Chris Godwin back there? No, because I don't think he fits the mold necessarily. Why not Bucky Irving? Lee,
he's supposed to make
guys miss.
Yeah.
Right?
Then maybe that's why they drafted him over the Kentucky running back.
I don't know if I would use Rashad White in that regard. I don't know, even though he's good in space. He's good in space, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's going to be some injuries in this regard.
You think so?
I got Bucky Irving ticketed for this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know about punt returns. Steve, I didn't check if he returned any punts.
No.
Probably not. But I'm not shedding any tears over Tompkins. He might get picked up by another team.
He might come back, too. It's possible he'll come back, too.
I would lay cash that Canales picks him up. Canales absolutely loves him. And let's be honest, they don't have much depth on their roster. So I could see him coming there.
Sage, a lot of people thinking about the pundits, and we talk about them with the Bucks, but if we, you know, we can't just look at the Bucks only, even though it's what we do. A lot of people are looking at Carolina saying 2 wins, 3 wins. Do you think, in all seriousness, do you think Dave Canales, knowing David Tepper, survives a 2-win season?
Wow. You got the hypotheticals going already.
I got my answer.
Does he survive a 2-win season? I don't think he does. Unless they become very close.
I wouldn't put anything past Tepper, Lee.
That's good.
I've been very consistent about Tepper.
I would say yes, and here's how. If Bryce Young takes a couple steps in his development. That's why he hired Canales, was Bryce Young.
Well, that's sort of like...
That's a good way to look at it.
I don't think he could take steps and still win 2 games.
Yeah.
I think, you know what I mean?
Easy.
You think so?
Yeah, okay. I see what you mean, Steve.
You know, like, if he takes...
That's logical, what you're saying. But I think that could happen. I mean, my God, look at Jameis. He was not bad before his shenanigans. Never losing.
Well, not two.
Yeah.
All right,
I don't think anything's beyond the realm when it comes to David Tepper.
I don't think so either. But
I don't think his fan base likes him at all. He's very unpopular.
What's to like? What do they like about him?
What's to like?
I mean, he traded away what could have been Williams.
Yep.
At quarterback. I mean, and they knew what that draft class was potentially going to be, you know, when they traded, and here we are.
Every night, Bucks fans should thank their lucky stars, Nick Saban conned him.
Quick question, Lee. Tough one. Who ranks higher on the Lee DeKemper quarterback rating board right now? Baker Mayfield, C.J. Stroud.
Stroud.
What's the context? One game?
The context is going forward, who's going to be the better quarterback?
Well, I think Stroud's excellent right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to not be excited about Stroud after that rookie year. I mean,
I don't have a problem with what you said.
One thing I think maybe a little underrated with Stroud, I'm curious to see – not underrated, but I'm curious to see how, you know, Hopkins last year, he caught over 1,000 yards, and that was really his comfort zone guy, and now he's gone. So I don't know. See how that works with a rookie.
Well, they got this Tank Dell back from injury.
Good.
He's good. And we know Nico Collins is good. And didn't they pick up Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen went to Chicago. They picked up Buffalo,
you're right.
Who's on the downside of his career.
Diggs.
Diggs. Yeah.
All right. But he's still competent.
Oh, he's not bad, but yeah. Is he worth the headache? He's always whining and complaining. If you look at his stats,
expectations are raised very, very high.
Oh, huge! Why wouldn't they be? You know, I mean,
rotten division,
fun year, and
rotten division. Yeah,
rotten division. All right, Sage. Look, June is here, and we're excited about a lot of things. We encourage everybody to leave a review of Iris Podcast if you're out on Apple. No one's done that in a while. And if you're listening to us now at the end of the podcast, you've savored it. And you know what? You can think of all the past podcasts or catch up and leave a review for the Sage. We'll share it with him. Ira doesn't dabble in those things.
It still amazes me how many people, whether it's the supermarket, you know, the gas station, walking the streets. They know Joe Buck's fan.
Well, they ought to.
They all do. It's amazing.
Should.
It's amazing.
Why is this amazing?
What you two characters have done in the last 15 years, it's quite a story.
But why does this amaze you, Ira?
It's quite a story. Because you were booed out of the press room in 2008.
You know what?
And you never forgot it.
The fact that the quote unquote press room thought we were a joke and that they were this haughty, mighty, impenetrable force of media coverage just shows what kind of closet society they belong to. I'm sorry. All the evidence was out there.
Lee, to be fair, at that point in 07 or 08, you didn't necessarily think these papers were going to take the beating that they had.
Not that quick. I thought they would, but not that quick.
You know, Joe Glazer, I don't know if I ever told you this story, but years ago at an NFL owners meeting,
I was standing right next to you, Ira, when he
told me and Roy. That one, the time that he told me and Cummings,
it was the two of us.
Well,
it was you two guys.
But this is a while back. He said the Tampa Bay area is going to be the first area in the country without a daily paper.
Yeah, I was standing right next to you, but it's still a great story.
I thought he did it 10 years ago.
No, it's been a lot of years. Maybe 8 years now. It's like eight years.
I thought he was crazy. Have you seen the circulation on some of these top papers, like the Boston Globe? Like 60,000.
Ira, come on. You know the people reading the newspaper are primarily older dudes sitting on the toilet.
And they're going to croak, right?
Enjoying the old school.
To quote Tony Kornheiser, newspapers are going the way of the buggy whip.
All right, Ira, I've got some good questions for you for our next podcast. And so buckle up.
Can I order some food, Steve?
Absolutely.